So I just wanted to quick take a moment, and I was telling Jay, especially as we head into this weekend, have been really grieved by everything that seems to be going on around us. And I had been praying, fasting does kind of put you in a different place, just different posture. And I told Jay, I said, I feel like the Lord had given me just a few things to share this morning before we get into his word together. I was speaking, I think, with Larry earlier, and I said, we decided this year that our series, our focus this whole year, we just preemptively decided was we were going to be focusing on the names of God, that every Sunday we were going to come up here and proclaim who he is, bring light and understanding to that to the best of our knowledge, open the word together, discover who he is, what his word says he is, and how those attributes and all of those things function and how that works with us as believers. And so I just wanted to give you just a few thoughts on where we are. I think we've said it before, and just a reminder, an invitation. With so much that's going on, there is this tendency to want to react and say something. In fact, if you are anywhere on any sort of social media, people will say that your silence is complicit to whatever is happening. Whatever side. And I have been reminded, and I remember once, maybe a few times, my father-in-law mentioned this to me, but just in talking and in growing and learning about in Proverbs, where it talks about even a fool is considered wise when he is silent. And sometimes you have to think he was ever correcting me in that, but I just think in conversation, I want to say he was probably one of the first people I actually remember having that conversation about scripture in that scripture, and has impacted how I walk into rooms, how I approach things, because I can be a person with a lot of opinions and thoughts and stuff. It has been something that has oftentimes caused me to want to pause. I know that right now we are seeing things from whatever angle we are seeing things, and I just want to remind you that scripture is very clear about a lot of things. Our goal here as in church, and we're going to just quickly look at scripture, as pastors, is to call and shepherd you to the ultimate shepherd, which is Jesus. It is not to, and it is a fine line that we walk to have our values and our opinions or our mindsets infiltrate scripture, infiltrate our time up here. We really want to honor God with the pulpit. We want to honor God with our voice. And being in a place at like Madison, there is often all the way around us this pressure to react and to respond and to say something. In Ephesians, we see very clearly that the work of, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to quickly turn there, but in part of Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about how he's given some of us to be apostles and preachers and teachers and some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And the purpose of that is to, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That first and foremost, that is our responsibility, is to encourage, to uplift, to equip you to go out, as you go out on your everyday, as I go out on my everyday, to live like a follower of Jesus Christ, to carry the weight of his scripture, of his word, and what he says, and to do that with deep conviction, to do not be led by our emotions. I was reminded, even as I was praying up here, the enemy has come from the beginning to be the accuser of the brethren, to bring doubt to what the word of God has been said, to make you doubt and say, well, if you, and I'm going to tell you, I've heard so many scopes of all of this. If you were really a Christian, then you would be doing this. If you were really a Christian, you'd be doing this. Didn't Jesus say this? And there is some crazy stuff that is out there that is not reflective or even true of the word of God, of what he said. There is scripture that is being twisted and taken to fit a narrative on whatever end. And our position here is to continue to bring you back to the shepherd, to continue to bring you back to his word, to continue to read his word with deep conviction and allow it to shape and form and mold and correct and refine who we are, not my opinion, not Jay's opinion. And I was like, Lord, you would be so good that you would set us up before the year began and said, just declare who I am. Because that's the kind of God he is. That he would say, just this year, I want you to focus on what the word says, who I say I am. And how freeing that is, that we can come up here and say, we don't need to be reactive. I would encourage you not to be reactive. I would encourage you to read scripture. I would encourage you, if there are things, what brought me to this is in Ephesians chapter 4, It actually says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, it says, therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Do not give opportunity to the devil. He goes on to say in verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that we may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And here's what blows my mind. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You know, if you read Ephesians, it will tell you what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. And I would encourage you to spend some time this week, because there is a lot of stuff that feels very one-sided, feels very unjust. It does tell us that we are to weep with those who are weeping. We're to rejoice. We are to mourn. So it's not that we are to be free from any sort of emotion, that we need to be like, God's got it all. No, the reason we do this, the reason why we need to let the Word of God shape us before anything, before our opinions, before all of that, is because he actually wants us to be people who redeem the time. He wants us to be people who are people of peace, who come in and bring the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And we cannot do that when we are being shaped by the world and social media and what everyone else is calling us to. We need to be people who are ruled by the Word of God first and foremost. And I have said this many times, the Word of God, Scripture is offensive. It is. Scripture tells us to do things that feels completely against our value system. When it says that I'm supposed, and I keep saying this, turn the other cheek or pray for those who spitefully use me, to forgive 70 times 7, that seems so contradictory to places that I want to keep protective, to even push away people who have hurt me. There, when we read Scripture, because we are to let go of our old man, it says we're becoming a new creation in him. So if there are things that you are processing that you're struggling, I'm not saying that we're not to have that. But what I am saying is we need to come to the Lord with it. If there's questions you have, if there's conversations you want to have with us, Jay and I, we don't have all the answers. I thank goodness that I am not the judge. But I would sit, have coffee, and listen, and help process, because we are to have, there is a part. But our part is, the first and foremost, is also to pray. You know, when there are certain things that happen, I'm going to be really, really real. I'll see things on social media that will say, you know, don't come with me with your thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers are no more. And I'm going to tell you, if you've allowed your heart to be hardened to the idea that prayer does nothing, we need to first and foremost go back to that, because prayer is the only thing that will change situations. He can come in and move in places that we can never pray or that we could never get into. And so I want to tell you, if that has been a posture, and I sometimes read that and my heart aches, because I know that Jesus is the answer. I genuinely believe it is not a cop-out. I have seen God move miraculously. There are things, and I want you to know, God is a God of order. He is not a God of chaos. He is a God of peace. He is a God of strategy. And if we don't have the wisdom, the only place we find this wisdom is being transformed by the Word of God and allowing him first and foremost to deal with our own heart. And that only happens in prayer. The other thing is, I want you to know, so what do we do in this time? What do we do when everyone is yelling, quite literally, maybe to you, maybe online, when everything feels dark and heavy, because it is dark and heavy, but here's the reality. When we read in Scripture, it's only going to get darker. We read in Revelation that there's someone, and however that looks, whatever that looks like, that there's going to be people who are coming who are pretending to be Christ, who will try to rise up, and what we need is wisdom and discernment from the Lord. This isn't going to be the only time that we are going to feel the darkness of something and feel lost and confused. And so we need to now, it's like the training ground is now, I believe, for us to learn to lean into his presence, to learn to get into his word. And we need to learn how to pray so our hearts are shaped and molded, and so that we have the discernment and the wisdom to know what is of God and what is not of God. because this will not be the only time where we will be saying, people will be saying, this is God, and we need the wisdom and discernment. As I mentioned, the enemy is the accuser of brethren from the beginning of the time, and his strategy is always to bring doubt to what the word of God has said and who he is. We see it in Genesis where he says, did he? What did he really say? How many times, how many of you have just felt like there's just a lot of accusations that are going everywhere that has you cause and be like, well, maybe I'm not doing enough. Maybe I'm not a Christian. Maybe I'm not praying. No, I'm just telling you, the enemy is the accuser of the brethren, and we need to be mindful of that. The other thing we can do is we need to pray that what is hidden is brought to light. In Luke chapter 8, there's two places Luke says, it says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers its vessel and puts it under a bed, but they set the lamp on the lampstand, and that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even that what he seems to have will be taken from him. It matters how we hear, and the only way that it hears is our posture of our heart. Again, in Luke chapter 12, it says, in the meantime, this is Jesus speaking, in the meantime, an innumerable multitude of people were gathered together, so they trampled over one another. He began to say to his disciples, first of all, so this is Jesus, he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He's saying, beware what is adding into what the Pharisees are saying is of me, because it's hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor nothing that is hidden will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the housetops. If you feel like there is a lot of injustice, we need to begin praying, God, would you begin to bring to light what needs to be brought to light? Would you begin what is happening in the dark, in the whatever it is? The other part to this is we can't just pray that and keep our hearts hardened towards it. We need to pray that our hearts stay soft toward the things of God, and that our posture would be one that is surrendered to him. If we cannot stay soft towards him, we will miss the things that are brought to light. We will not have that wisdom and discernment, and we will miss how he's inviting us to be people who are people of peace in situations. He wants us to actually be light in this dark time. Lastly, is I believe that he wants us to understand the difference between our fear and discernment. Jay was walking, and I've said this is my third time in the fast. Jay was walking through, he's supposed to be having an eye surgery, a pretty invasive one. And he was going back and forth, and my prayer was just for him. I pray that you would know the difference, what is fear, because what they want to do to your eye is a big deal. And then that you would pray that you'd have the understanding, the discernment to know if that's the Holy Spirit telling you to pause. Because we need to know. We need to know, is it fear that's driving me and I could, or is it the discernment of the Holy Spirit that's telling me to do something? Again, that's only going to come by us reading our word, by reading scripture and praying. And so my encouragement to you, read Ephesians, like it's 5 chapters, 6 chapters. It talks about who we are and how we are to be walking as Christians. It actually talks about hypocrisy within the church. It talks about how we're to walk in surrender. And it talks about how we're to love. It talks about we're supposed to put on our new man. And the last thing it talks about is that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I'm going to tell you that everything that we are seeing, everything, we see with our eyes what is happening, but the enemy is coming like a lion looking whom he can devour. And there are some people who are playing into it like, this is unjust, this is this or that. No, we need to understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means that what we are fighting is not what we are seeing. We're not fighting one another. There is deep things happening in the spirit, and the enemy would have us look away to what we can see instead of turning to the one who wants to actually show us what we need to know and see. So that is my encouragement to you guys. We need to be in his word. We need to know his word. If there's questions, if there's things you want to talk through, we are open to have a conversation. But when it comes to here, our standpoint is to continue to lead you to Jesus, to continue to show you the good shepherd, to continue to posture you there, because there's things, deep things in your heart that he's called and shaped and formed you for that I may have no idea for. And so to be putting my opinion on something might actually stifle the very things that God and places he wants you to go. And that's not our hope. That's not our responsibility. And so the more we can point you to Jesus, the more clear we know that you will walk in great discernment and wisdom and be a person who actually brings the love of Jesus, brings the peace of Jesus into places that redeems the time. All right, honey. Oh, would you like me to pray? Is that what?
Can we respond to the Lord on that? Can we all just stand together and let's just lift our hands to the Lord? And if you could just pray over us. And
yeah.
Let's just allow the Lord right now just to work in our hearts, because this is, you know, Scripture says, as Pastor Susie just mentioned, you know, darkness will increase. Scripture is very clear about it, right? And it's not about what we can do. It's about who we turn to. And that we really need to put our trust in the Lord, who is the King, who is the Lord of Lords, the name above every name. He's the only one that has the ability here to see the kingdom established here on earth. And so, but he partners with us. It requires us to pray. Amen?
Yeah.
And so let's pray. Let's do that right now.
Yeah, thanks. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today.
Yes.
God.
Let's lift our hands.
I ask for just forgiveness, Jesus, of even where I have been feeding the wrong things, where I've been feeding my flesh with all of the news and angles and thoughts, and instead of being the one of feeding myself with your word and your scripture and who you say you are. Lord, ask for forgiveness for turning my eyes to situations and turning my eyes away from you. Lord, we just pray and declare that we would be a people who look to you in the midst,
Lord,
of things.
Yes,
Lord, it says like when the storm comes, that there we are not, as just because we're Christians does not free us from any sort of circumstances that get us feeling in over our head. We are not immune to anything that is happening around us. However, we have the promise and the hope that is found in Jesus. We know that you are the author and finisher of our faith.
Yes,
you are the one who wants to bring, give us the discernment and the wisdom. You are the one that is looking for us to come be ministers of reconciliation, be ministers of peace, not of our own understanding, but of you. God, we thank you that Jesus, you are the answer. We may not know the way or the path, but that doesn't change the truth that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that no one else except for you is the answer, Jesus.
Yes,
Lord, we thank you that our hearts will not be hardened by the wisdom of the world, by what things or people are saying, but that our hearts would be established in your wisdom, in your understanding, in your discernment, in your peace, God. Lord, I pray that in this time where things feel heavy and yucky, God, I pray that the joy of the Lord would rise up in us, that we would be people who would come and bring your joy because of the time we have spent with you. God, I pray that there would be just a greater place of peace that we would walk in because of your promises, because of who you are. Lord, we just commit to be a church who looks to you, that doesn't look to our opinions, that does not look to our values, but looks to you, that allows Scripture to refine us, that allows Scripture to correct us, that allows Scripture to bring life to us, God. Lord, we look to you. We declare, as we did in the beginning of this year, that we will be a church that declares who you are, declares the truth of your name, declares the proclamation and the attributes of who you are, that wants to set captives free, that goes out to the poor and preaches the gospel, that comes and preaches that you are the one that heals the broken heart, that you are the one that wants to restore joy, that you are the one that wants to bring restoration now. God, we pray that as we feel the darkness creeping in, God, that we would look to you, the light. Lord Jesus, that you call us to be the light, that you call us to be the salt.
Yes,
Lord, I pray that we would be flavored by you, that we would be lit up by you, God. I pray that as we read your word, there would be a greater understanding of who you are. Lord, I pray we'd be people who have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that stays soft, impalpable, and surrender to you, God. I pray that our hearts would not be hardened, that our hearts would not be cynical.
Yes.
God, that our hearts would stay palatable to you. Lord, we pray and we declare that this place, that our church would be a place of your peace, that our church would be a place of your restoration, that our heart, that our church would be a place of salvation and healing, God. Mm-hmm. I pray that you would continue to help us be equipped for the work that you have for us. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can we thank the Lord for his word? You can be seated. How many of you are thankful for the Holy Spirit? Yes, that's right. We need the Lord. And we need to be able to hear his voice. And most, by far, most often, that comes by the leading and the speaking of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. And our job is really to keep our hearts in a place of humility and surrender to the Lord, to be in a place where we can hear him. A lot of people, you know, we get into a situation or we face a difficult time or we have questions or doubts and we're like, I can't hear God, because our heart isn't positioned. It's not him who moved, it's us who oftentimes move. It's our heart, it's the posture and the approach. But when we walk with the Lord and we keep our heart humble before him and we are obedient to do things his way, guess what? You are gonna be led by the Spirit. You're gonna hear his voice. And so my encouragement to you is that if you're like, I don't know if I've ever heard God speak to me. Listen, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they know me. So this isn't like some special thing that some Christians can do and some can't, or just pastors can do. No, this is, he's talking about sheep. If you're a sheep, go bah. No, don't do that. Right? If you're a sheep, he will speak to you, and our job is to have a heart that follows him and is surrendered to him. Amen? We're talking about the names of God, and I'll adjust this a little bit just so we can make sure that, you know, we respect everybody's time this morning. But the name that we're going to be talking about is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. And I think it's just a timely word, a timely declaration, a timely desire that we would be people who desire not to just live on our own strength, but to be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so I'm just going to pray one more time. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, we just open our hearts and we say, Lord, speak to us. Speak to your people. Teach us your word. Open our eyes, open our ears, that we would hear you, that we would see you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to read out of Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Acts. We're going to be in there for most of this, but we are going to be, I'll be moving around. But if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts, starting at chapter 2, verse 17. And this is Peter after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus had died. He had ascended or been raised to life. He taught the disciples and the people for 40 days. He walked with them, teaching them the kingdom, the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And he ascends into heaven and he says, I want you to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father that I will send to you, and I'm going to pour out my Spirit. And this is what Peter says. The Holy Spirit gets poured out. People start speaking in heavenly languages, and people are like, what is going on? And how many of you know God is not a God of chaos? He's a God of order. And so he speaks through Peter, one of the disciples that followed Jesus, and he stands up and he says, this is what the prophet Joel was talking about. Now, Joel was proclaiming the word of the Lord. This was the Lord speaking this. He says, this is what Joel was saying. He says, this is what the Lord is saying. It shall come to pass in the last days. Everybody say last days. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. How many of you know this was 2,000 years ago when the Holy Spirit was poured out into the church? It was a gift that was given to us, and we're going to talk about that. But how many of you know if those were the last days, we are definitely in the last days? Amen? How many of you know Jesus, just as Scripture says, just as he ascended into heaven, he is going to descend back to the earth, and he's going to take those who are his with him. Amen. Jesus is coming again. We don't know the time. We don't know the hour. All that we know is Scripture says you need to be ready, because he comes like a thief in the night, like lightning, he will come. Amen. And so we need to be ready, but the Lord has given us the Holy Spirit to be prepared and to operate and to function in these last days. And so we need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. And so I want to look at Luke 3:16. You don't need to turn there, but this is John the Baptist speaking. And it says that John answered, saying to all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I," everybody say Jesus, "one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." We're talking about the names of God, and today we're talking about the name Jesus, the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Now, the night before Jesus died, how many of you know he knew he was going to give his life? And if you know that this is your last day on earth, you're going to probably talk about some important things. And one of the things that he talked about more than anything else was, "I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit." And he talked about how the Holy Spirit is a helper. He talked about how the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. How many of you need to be taught some things? He talked about how the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance all the things that Jesus has taught you. You know, I think sometimes we read Scripture and we're like, "I don't even necessarily remember what I read this morning." But how many of you know you don't necessarily remember what you ate for breakfast yesterday, but it did its job? In the same way, when you are in the Word and you are sincerely trying to take that in as food for the soul, there will come a time where you're going to face something. You're like, "Wait a minute. I remember the Lord said something about this." And he's going to speak to you in that moment. How do you know? That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you and reminding you what Jesus has taught you. Amen? Yeah. He will bring to remembrance all the things that Jesus has taught us. He will guide you into all truth. Everybody say all truth. Everybody thinks they know the truth. But how do you know he knows all truth? We see what we believe and perceive as truth, and sometimes it's right and sometimes it's not. But how many of you know what we can really stand on is his word, which is eternal, which is unchanging. It is everlasting. Jesus said, there will not be one jot or tittle that will pass away from the Holy Scripture. So we can build our lives. It's what we can be anchored to. It's what we can be tethered to. And the Holy Spirit will do this. He will guide you into all truth. Yes. Now, let me tell you what that means. Your heart might have to change on some things. There might be things that you thought were okay that are not okay to the Lord. There are ways of talking that you might have, habits. But how many of you know the Lord wants to clean up your life? Yes. And he wants to do that so that you can walk with him, so that he can lead you, so that you stay again in that position of being led by the Lord into all the promises of God. And so these are the types of things that Jesus was talking about the night before he died. And so I want to talk just a little bit, because I think there's a little bit of a misconception. Well, yeah, I've given my life to the Lord. I'm born again. I've said the sinner's prayer, right? I said it in faith. And so I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to just kind of point out in Scripture that according to Scripture, there is this separate occurrence of being filled with the Spirit and the Holy Spirit living inside of you, okay? There is a difference between the Holy Spirit's residence in you and being able to see the Holy Spirit's work on the outside of you, okay? Do you guys see what I'm saying? And so there's the difference between being born again and being filled with the Spirit. And I want to just briefly show you how those two compared. And so on the day that Jesus was raised from the dead, he's raised to life, and he reveals himself to his disciples. And Scripture says that he breathed on them, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, if Jesus had just told them, "Receive the Holy Spirit," he could have been referring to something in the future. But how many of you know he breathed on them and something was happening in that moment, right? Just as though God created man, right? And he created man out of dust and formed them. It wasn't until God breathed into them the breath of life that they came to life. In the same way, Jesus came and he had defeated death. He had defeated the powers of sin and darkness. And he's coming down and he now what? He's breathing life into them. And so when Jesus was breathing into them, it was this breath of being born again. But again, being born again is not the same thing as being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is when the evidence of the Holy Spirit can be seen from the outside. And so Jesus breathed on them, and I believe that this is the first instance of people being born again, what we would say saved, or being born again, where what was dead inside, your spirit, which was dead inside because of sin, is now born again and raised to life with him, okay? And so this is the first instance of being born again where the Holy Spirit is living inside of them. Now listen to Acts. If you're in Acts, go to Acts chapter 1. Starting at verse 3, this is the same day when Jesus gave the Great Commission to make disciples. It says, "Jesus also presented himself alive after his suffering." How many of you know Jesus suffered? How many of you know God became man to die? That's amazing. He suffered for you. He presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So he was walking with them for 40 days after he had been raised to life, teaching them the things of the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Well, it was 40 days since Jesus had breathed on his disciples, but now, notice, he's commanding them not to depart from Jerusalem until they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we can see that Jesus is referring to something that has yet to happen. He's talking about something that is different and distinct occurrence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And notice what he says in verse 8. He says, "And you will receive power." Everybody say power. "When the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Well, we see the fulfillment of this promise if we go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost means 50. This was 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. And he had ascended into heaven already at this point. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Everybody say, "Fill this house, Lord Jesus." Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want us to notice something, and I think this is important, because I think we just go through life and we just say, "Well, God is with me," and he is. Somebody say amen. Amen. Not recognizing that there is something available to us at all times, and it's called being filled with the Holy Spirit. And here it is, there's these believers who Jesus had ascended into heaven, and so they were being obedient. They said, okay, well, we can't leave Jerusalem until we receive the promise from the Father. So what do? They begin to pray. That's a good thing to do. They begin to pray, and they're not just praying separately. They're not just saying T's and P's, right? They're saying, no, we are in one accord, in united prayer, and we are praying for the promise of the Father to come. And as they prayed, as the believers were gathered, we see there is this separate, distinct occurrence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. These were all believers gathered in one place. These were some of the same believers that Jesus had breathed on, and they were born again. But here is this saying. He's saying, wait, don't go out and just tell a story. Don't just go out and try to do good things for me. No, you need the Holy Spirit. You need something called power, and I will give it to you, but you must ask, and you will receive. And so why does Jesus want us to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Listen, he's the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. He's the one that does this. In fact, the evidence of being filled with the Spirit is proof that Jesus is on the throne. You want proof that Jesus is alive and sitting on the throne? The proof is this: the Holy Spirit will come, and the Lord will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And when he does, you will be filled with power. The reason Jesus wants us to be filled with the Spirit is this: because Jesus was filled with the Spirit. Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these you will do, because I go to the Father. He said, it's better for you that I leave. It's better for you that I go and don't just stay here with you. I don't know about you, but I would kind of like to walk with Jesus, you know, on this earth. That'd be really cool. Yes. And Jesus is saying, no, you don't understand. It's to your advantage that I leave, because I'm going to send a helper, the Holy Spirit. What a gift the Lord has given us. I think we way underplay this way too often. That the Lord is saying, I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and you will be witnesses of me in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But don't go until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Luke 3:21 says this. It says, when all the people were baptized, this is talking about when Jesus was baptized, he came to the River Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist. It says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized in water. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. I want you to know that the proof of the Holy Spirit coming, being filled with the Holy Spirit, is proof that the Lord is pleased with you in Christ Jesus. Somebody need to hear that. Yeah. The Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased. Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age. I want you to notice that Jesus began his earthly ministry after the Holy Spirit had come upon him. His ministry didn't start before this baptism moment. He was on this earth. He was being raised by parents. He was learning about the ways of the Father. He was reading scripture. But before we're talking about the Son of God, before he could go and be ministering to people, healing the sick, raising the dead, he first had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had to come upon him, which happened at this baptism. Chapter 4, verse 1, it says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit. So what is Jesus now? He's filled with the Holy Spirit. When did Jesus get filled with the Holy Spirit? After he was baptized in water, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, we know he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights by Satan. Okay, But notice what it says in verse 14 after that temptation and after he successfully overcame those temptations. Verse 14 says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Let me ask you, why does Jesus, the Son of God, need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Isn't he God? Why does Jesus need to be filled? Here's why. Philippians 2:7 says this. It says, but Jesus made himself of no reputation. That word means he emptied himself. When Jesus came to earth to die as a man, he literally became man. That means he gave up his omniscience, meaning he did not know all things. He couldn't just know what somebody on the other side of the world was thinking about. He didn't know what was happening on the other side of the world. He had emptied himself of that. He was no longer omnipotent, which means he couldn't just walk around as a baby or as a child bopping people on the head saying, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed. You get a healing, you get it. No, he couldn't do that. He couldn't be omnipresent, meaning he couldn't be everywhere at once. He didn't teleport, okay? He was man. He emptied himself of his divine nature and became man. He was God, but he emptied himself. Jesus is our example of what it looks like to do ministry empowered by the Holy Spirit. How many of you know if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit? Amen. Amen. And so Jesus literally came down to be like us, to be human. He's God, but now he's human too. Jesus wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit because Jesus commanded his disciples to wait and to be filled. We just read this. I'm just going to read it quickly. Being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them. This is before he ascended into heaven. How many of you know a commandment is different than a suggestion? He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You see, Jesus had already breathed on them 40 days prior. He breathed on them, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is very clearly saying through Scripture, he's saying, listen, don't just leave it at that. Maybe you have said a salvation prayer. Maybe you've given your life to the Lord. But maybe you've never asked for the Lord to fill you with his Holy Spirit. And I think Jesus' heart is saying, don't just leave it at salvation. You've received me. You've made me the Lord of your life. That's great. Somebody say amen. That's great. That's the best thing, right? That's amazing. Oh, but there's something so good that the Lord has also given. He's saying, I'm not just going to leave you to do a task that is impossible. How many of you know, when you look, as Pastor Susie was just sharing, when you look at the world and you look at the situation, you're like, there's just no way this can get fixed. There's nothing one person can do. Even if we were to collectively raise our voice, we raise our voice in different ways. And there's no unity in it. We need the Lord. And so the Lord is saying, no, call to me. Let me fill you with my Spirit. Jesus is saying, you need the Holy Spirit because then you can do it, ministry, the way that I did it. Jesus wants us to be filled with the Spirit because this gift is intended for every believer. Everybody say this. The Holy Spirit has come for me. The Holy Spirit wants to fill my life. This is intended for every believer. Throughout the book of Acts, the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit and they helped others to be filled. So not only should we be filled, we should be filling other people too. We should be telling people about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verse 14, this is after Philip preached Christ to Samaria. They received salvation through Jesus. They had received salvation, but notice what it says. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. So again, we see two different distinct events. There's this thing called salvation, being born again, where the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. But there is this other thing where the Holy Spirit comes upon you, or you're baptized with, or you are filled with. The Holy Spirit had not yet fallen on them. So can we see there's two different things here? And I think too often we just leave it there. In fact, too often the church leaves it there, right? One of the things that we do when we baptize people in water, when they come out of the water, they are emptied and washed of their sin. What is the first thing we do? We lay hands on them and we say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you're not, you're going to be filled with something. The question is, who or what? Yeah. I don't know about you, but we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right. It says they had not yet they had received the word of God, but the Holy Spirit had not yet fallen on them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So notice, when the apostles, when they heard that they were saved, they weren't satisfied. And how many of you know, if they weren't satisfied, we should not be satisfied until every believer is filled with the Holy Spirit. We should not back down from praying for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Many of you know people who say they're Christians. And I think a valid question is what does your walk with Jesus look like? You know, what are you hearing? What has he spoken to you like? Because a lot of people say they're Christians, and it's a sidestep of just saying, yeah, I'm good. Right? And I think a valid question is have you heard about the gift of the Holy Spirit? That because Jesus has ascended into heaven, not only are you saved, that the Lord can actually empower you to do the things he's called you to do, to lay hands on the sick, to pray for people, to be bold witnesses, right? He's given you these gifts. Have you had that? I think that's a valid question to ask someone. I don't think we should just settle back and settle for people being saved. We want to see people saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we know there's benefits of the Holy Spirit. We talked about how you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We know that one of the benefits is boldness. Scripture says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Everybody say boldness. Another benefit of being filled with the Spirit is spiritual language. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. A benefit of being filled with the Spirit is wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. I need wisdom. A benefit of being filled with the Spirit is perfect intercession, meaning perfect prayers. Romans chapter 8, 26 through 27, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps in our weakness. Does anybody ever feel weak? Yeah. For we do not know what we should pray. Yeah. I don't know about you, but there are times where I go into my room and I get on my knees and I begin to pray and I'm like, I don't even know. Where do I even start? Yeah. I've prayed about that. I've prayed about this. Do I just pray that? The Holy Spirit has been given because Scripture says when you pray in the Spirit, you are praying the perfect will of God. I don't know about you, but every believer has the ability to pray perfect prayers, and it is by the Holy Spirit. It says the Spirit helps us in our weakness because we don't know what we should pray, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. 1 John 5:14 says this: this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. In other words, when you pray in your spiritual language and you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you are praying in your spiritual language, you are praying perfect prayers from heaven. Somebody say amen. One of the most powerful times of prayer that I have, and Paul talks about this. Paul says, when I pray in the Spirit, I actually don't know what I'm praying, because how many of you know you're not praying with your mind, you're praying with your spirit. And your whole and the Holy Spirit is telling your spirit what to pray and how to pray, and you're praying in these unknown languages. And Paul's like, I don't actually know what I'm praying, so what do? I ask for the interpretation of what I'm praying, and I pray in my understanding as well. Some of the most powerful times of prayer that I've had is when I begin to just start and I just begin to give thanks, because we should always start there. And I begin to pray in the Spirit. And as I'm praying in the Spirit, the Lord begins to show me things or people or situations. And when he does, and I sense it in this, my spirit, as those things come, I then begin to pray with my understanding. And then when I'm done praying with my understanding, I go back to praying in the Spirit. And I pray in the Spirit. And what does the Lord do? He shows me something else, and I begin to pray over that situation or that person. How many of you know that is the prayer of a, that is how we pray perfect prayers? Right? Because we're praying according to the will of the Father. And when we pray according to the will of the Father, not only does he hear us, we can be assured that we will have what we ask for. A benefit of the Holy Spirit is spiritual warfare in all kinds of prayer. Ephesians 6 says, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit. He's talking to a church, and he's saying, I'm telling you all, you should be praying in the Spirit. You should be praying in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and with all kinds of requests. When we're talking about spiritual warfare, don't go in spiritual warfare without the power of the Holy Spirit. But when you pray in the Spirit, you are using your weaponry with perfect prayers. And then being filled with the Spirit builds yourself up. Jude 20, verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, Mary in our church, she used to watch our children when they were growing up, and she would always refer to praying in the Spirit as powering up. That it's literally like charging your battery. We're just going to spend a few minutes, and we're just going to start praying in the Spirit. And so they would begin to just pray in the Spirit. Let me tell you, I'm very thankful that I received my spiritual language when I was very young. I think I was 5 years old. And I remember I was at church with my father, and he was praying in the Spirit, and he was on his knees, and I was like, what are you doing? And he says, I'm praying in the Spirit. And he said, do you want to pray in the Spirit? And I said, yeah. And so he prayed for me, and he said, all right, let's pray in the Spirit. And so I began to pray in the Spirit. There is something about the faith like a child that it is so much easier to receive the things of God. I think the world just has a way of hardening our hearts and our minds to the point where we talk ourselves out of the things that God wants to do in our lives. And we say, well, I guess that's just not for me. But I need you to know that this is for every believer.
That's right.
And this is something that he gives to those who ask.
Yeah.
And it does require faith. It does require for you to step out. I know there's people in my family that they were advanced in age. I don't know. I don't know how else to say that. They weren't old. They're just not kids anymore. And they had never received their spiritual language, and they had always prayed for their spiritual language. But there was something in them that was like, you know, I never actually just started. I just would ask and then do nothing. And so they were praying, and they felt like the Lord said, just start speaking French. And they're like, I don't know French. Just start speaking French. And so they started, and all of a sudden, the spiritual language started flowing out. There's something about moving before you see the prayer, the result. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, she didn't speak French at all. She didn't stay there. It was a move of the Spirit, and they received their spiritual language. This is something that's available, and it's something that is necessary, because listen, darkness covers the earth and deep darkness the people. And we need the Lord. I said we need the Lord. And we need the Holy Spirit, because we need to be guided into the right things. The world will say one thing, and it can be totally contradictory to the heart of the Lord. We need to know what the Lord is saying. We need to know what the Lord is doing. We need to move in faith to lay hands on the sick, right? You might see someone at your workplace and they're sick and they're struggling physically, and the Lord will drop something in you that says, I want you to pray for that person. What do I do when I do that? I begin to pray in the Spirit, because I don't always know how to even pray for that healing. So I begin to pray in the Spirit, and then as I pray, the Lord starts giving me scriptures that I've read, and he starts saying, I want you to pray over this thing in their body, right? I want you to pray for wisdom in this situation. And you begin to pray as the Lord leads. This is so vital. This is such an opportunity. And so what I'm going to ask is that we stand together, and we're going to close our time. But if you're here today, by the way, being filled with the Spirit is not a one and done. I'm going to say it again. Being filled with the Spirit is not one and done. You can be filled with the Spirit one day and then totally not be filled with the Spirit the next day by choosing to do things your own way. We need to constantly be filled. Amen? And so if you're here today and maybe you've given your life to the Lord, I'm just going to invite that we all lift our hands and just ask the Lord for a fresh filling of the Spirit. Lord Jesus, we call on you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that you are the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask today, Lord, for a fresh filling of your Spirit. Just begin to ask him in your own words. Just say, fill me fresh, Lord. Fill me afresh with your Spirit. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to receive the power, the boldness, the wisdom, Lord, the spiritual language, Lord. Lord, we want to be led by your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, your word says, you said, ask and you will receive. And so, Lord, we know that when we ask, Lord, we have already received it. Lord, it is finished, it is done. And so, Lord, we will walk in faith knowing that you not only have residence in us, but that you are going to work mightily through us as we go from this place, Lord Jesus, to see your kingdom come, to see your will be done, Lord, to see lives change, Lord. Lord, there are people in our lives that are facing difficult situations. Lord, there are people in our lives who have significant doubts about who you are and what you have said. And Lord, you will use us to speak through us as we are filled by the Spirit to break the bondage of and the chains of those who are in bondage, Lord, to break the heavy yoke and the weight that people carry. Lord, we ask, Lord, for a fresh filling of your Spirit, Lord, because we need you, we want you, and we ask for more of you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we thank the Lord? Amen. Amen. We're a little over, but if you guys are here and you need prayer, we're going to have some people available to pray with you. Also, stay warm. Stay warm. But we love you guys, and we'll see you guys next week. God bless you.